Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Set Free Live. I am Apostle Deborah Taylor, and beloved, it is a blessing and an honor to be with you once again. We thank and praise God for his loving kindness and his tender mercy. We are in a dynamic teaching, the book of Acts. We're going to continue with Acts chapter 2 and go on into chapter 3 on today. We pray that the word will be an encouragement and an uplift to your spirit. We pray that you have had a blessed day on this Monday. We pray that God has just been good as you started out your week, that you started it out with the Lord, knowing that God is a good God. He's a loving God. He's a kind God. He's a just God. He's a righteous God. He's an on-time God. He's everything that you need him to be. So we just pray that you will gather around for the next few moments and join us as we go into the word of the Lord. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for this day that you've given to us. We ask, Father, as we go into your word now, that you would anoint your word, anoint every listener, Father. Oh, Father, I pray that you would stir us by the power of the Holy Ghost. Let us see you, Jesus, in a new way, in a real way. Reveal yourself to us, God, through your word. We thank you for the Holy Ghost that you have sent to walk with us, to lead us and guide us into all truth. Oh, Father God, help us, God, to take this word, activate it in our spirit. And, Lord God, we thank you and we praise you for all that you're doing, all that you're going to do. We want you to be Lord in our lives, God. We give this time over to you now, and we say have your way. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, beloved, we are picking up in Acts chapter 2. We left off around verse 38, so we're going to begin at Acts 2 and 38. The scripture says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now, as we were on our last broadcast, we read about the sermon that Peter gave, the message that he gave, beginning at verse 14. He stood up after the people tried to say that they were drunk with wine, and the Lord allowed Peter to stand up and gave a spoke from the book of Joel, which was a fulfillment of prophecy that what would happen in the last days. God said he would pour out his spirit upon all flesh, and they were firsthand witnesses and accounting to that on the day of Pentecost, because when the Holy Ghost came, he filled all of them that were sitting, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance, praise the Lord. And the people heard this commotion, they heard what was going on, they heard them speaking the wonderful works of God in their own languages, and so they thought that they were drunk, but we know that they weren't. It was just the Holy Ghost, the new wine, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And this man of God stood up and proclaimed the word, and he preached Jesus to them. He let them know that it was Jesus whom they crucified, that a man that talked about the works and the signs and the wonders which he did, and how he walked among them, and how he fulfilled the word of God, and that they had crucified the Lord. They had killed him, and they were pricked in their heart after he preached the Lord. He preached the word to them, and as a result, those that heard the word of God, they received the word, and they were born again. They were converted, and they were baptized. They understood what he was saying, and they received it into their heart. And the Bible says that about 3,000 souls were added to the church in one day. Just one message, praise God, pricked the hearts of the people, and they came to know the Lord in a real way. And the scripture goes on to say, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, so the things that they taught, because Jesus said that they would be witnesses of him when you were endued with power from on high, that they would be witnesses of Jesus. So they taught, praise the Lord, everything that Jesus imparted into them, they began to give it to the people. They didn't preach their own doctrine. They didn't preach their own theory. They preached the word. They exhorted the word. And that's what Peter did on that day. So it was the word of God, the power of God, that drew the people to the Lord. Praise God. So the scripture says that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayer. So that means that they were constantly in prayer and fellowship, and they prayed, praise the Lord. And they were taught, and they listened to the word, and they adhered to the word of God, praise the Lord. Now the Bible says in verse 43, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. So they didn't just teach and preach the word, but they also, amen, God wrought miracles and signs and wonders through their hands, praise the Lord. Through it was the power of God, but God moved through these men of God, and God proved himself, so the people knew that it really wasn't them, but it was God. But God said, he told them, Jesus told them that greater works you will do because I'm going to the Father. So one mark of an apostle, a true apostle, you're going to see signs and you're going to see wonders that will follow their ministry. People will be getting saved. They will get converted. They will get delivered. They will be baptized in the Holy Ghost. They'll get baptized. All of these things you will see, amen, as a result of a true bona fide ministry anointed by God. This is what God wants us to walk in. This is the word of God, people. And I pray that you will heed the word and just begin to adhere to the word and allow the Lord, if your ministry needs an overhaul, if God is really wanting to take you in another way, pull you out of tradition or pull you out of religion or pull you out of legalism, let the Lord do what he wants to do. Let him make you into that new wineskin, praise the Lord, because this is what apostolic ministry is all about. It's not about religion or doing things in a traditional way when there's no anointing, when God can't move. God, we don't want to limit God. We really want the power of God to move freely as is in the word of God. So it says that many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. They did not hoard what they had. They were very liberal, and they brought the things that people needed, and they sold possessions. They did what they needed to do so that everybody had what was needed. This is the body of Christ. This is the church, praise the Lord. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple. So that means that even if they worked or whatever they did, they continued daily with one accord in the temple. And breaking bread from house to house, that lets us know they fellowshiped all the time, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord, listen, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And we know we live in such a modern day, a modern time, and we get so caught up with our own mundane things, our own everyday things, praise the Lord, that we, you know, we put the church aside because we're so set in a mold. But I really believe that God is really wanting to just do some awesome things in the body of Christ, and we just have to be sensitive. Amen. We want God to add to the church, add to the church daily such as should be saved, because the souls are there. The harvest is ripe, and it's time for us to reap the harvest as a body of Christ. Now, moving on into chapter 3, verse 1. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man was lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Now, when he looked on them, he knew, I'm going to get something. He probably was thinking, oh, they're going to give me some money. They're going to help me out. But Peter said this. He said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." You see, at that moment, Peter looked beyond the natural that what that young man needed. He knew, yes, he needed some money, but he needed much more than that. He needed, amen, his legs to be strengthened. He needed to be healed. He needed to be made whole. And so, no, he did not have money. He didn't have silver, and he didn't have gold. But he did not hold back that he did have. And what he had was the power of God. Healing, praise God, was in him because Jesus was in him. And he stretched forth his hand just as Jesus did, and he spoke the word. He said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." He did not bind the devil. He didn't do any of that. He just spoke the word, and he took him by the hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. It was not a process. This was a divine miracle from God. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. They knew that this was the one that had been laying, asking alms, that could not walk. This man could not walk, but the power of God in an instant touched his life, strengthened those ankle bones, strengthened those muscles, strengthened those tendons, and healed him. Praise the Lord. And they knew that it was he who was set for alms, as I just said, and they were amazed at this. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them to the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. So when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God had raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses." He continued to witness the fact that Jesus came, he died, and he rose again. He knew that Jesus was the Son of God, and it was the power of the Lord that healed this young man. And his name, through faith in his name, had made this man strong, because Peter did not do that in his own strength. He proclaimed, "In the name of Jesus Christ, by the authority of the Lord Jesus of Nazareth," that's what he was saying, "rise up and walk." So it was in his name he had made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So the power of God was still being manifested, and Jesus was still doing the work, even though he is no longer here in the natural. But he used Peter, and Peter simply spoke the word, praise the Lord, and God did the work. He goes on to say, "And now, brethren, I would that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before hath shewed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled." Now, this is where I want to talk a little bit about. Acts 3:19 says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So he's encouraging them to repent. And the Amplified says in Acts 3:19, it says, so repent, change your mind and purpose. Turn around and return to God, that your sins may be erased, blotted out, wiped clean, that times of refreshing, of recovering from the effects of heat, of reviving with fresh air may come from the presence of the Lord. Beloved, we must realize that we are living in a season where God is sending refreshment to those who are laboring in the gospel of Jesus. And this is what he is encouraging us to do, to repent and be converted. Praise the Lord. Listen, lay member and minister alike, we are all going through great trial for the cause of Christ. There are certain regions that people will not travel in because of the demonic forces that are so strong. And if you're not in a place with God, you will meet with defeat. But we, if we're walking right with God and we begin to proclaim the word of the Lord, praise the Lord, we will be able to speak just as Peter did. Amen. When you speak the word, you ought to see some results. Signs, wonders, and miracles should be evident. A lot of times we've seen preachers lay hands and nothing happened, praise the Lord. And then we try to put it on every little excuse. Well, they don't have faith. Well, this and well, that. Well, it shouldn't be dependent on that, because if we're filled with the Holy Ghost and we're walking in God and God says pray, God's going to do the work. Whenever Jesus showed up, he healed the people. So we must make sure that we're walking in line with the word, praise the Lord. And one thing that must take place is repentance. Praise God. We must repent. We must live a repentant life before the Lord. These boys lived so with God that their lives was hid in Christ. They were totally surrendered to the Lord. They were examples, the good examples for us to follow. Jesus is the best example that we could ever have of what God would do. Praise the Lord. Now, some definitions of the word repent. One of the definitions is nahum. It's a Hebrew word. It means to sigh, to breathe strongly, to be sorry. Now, but we sorrowful. Yes, we part of repentance is you're sorry. Amen. But you go further than that. It also means to turn back. Another Hebrew word, shob, shoob. I'm not sure if I'm saying it right, but it means to turn back. Amen. To go another way. Another one is regret. You have regret. And then you have compassion. That's another Hebrew definition, nihom. And then in the Greek, that it means metatehom, to change the mind for the better, to change the attitude towards sin. Now, when we're talking repentance, we've got to, our attitude has to change. We've got to see sin for what it is, and we must repent. We must turn away from it. And then there's another one that means, again, to regret consequences of sin, not the cause. Now, is Judas Iscariot, he regretted what he did, but he didn't go far enough. He did not repent. He didn't add all of it together. He did not repent. He did not change his mind and say, I'm not going to walk this way anymore. I really want Jesus. And then finally, in the last definition, a real change of mind and attitude towards sin and its cause, not merely the consequences again. Amen. A real change. You must really change. You must really come out. Praise God. So when we realize that we must have a real change of mind and attitude towards sin and its cause, going deep down to the root of the problem and deal with that root, go to the depth of it. If you're having some issues that you're dealing with and it's dealing with repentance, you must go down to the deep and down to the root of it and the effects of it and pull that up. Get it all out. Let the Lord get everything, because sin can have lasting results, but the blood of Jesus will wash away all sin residue. He will blot us out, blot out every transgression, amen, and it will not be seen, will not be heard. Praise the Lord. It will be thrown into the sea of forgetfulness, never to remember it again. That's the power of God. This is what Peter is preaching and telling them. You've got to repent. You've got to change. You've got to be converted. Amen. And a lot of times we have people come to the altar. They don't truly repent. They're sorry. that they got caught or they're sorry where they are, they're sorry about their situations, but they're not really willing to follow the Lord. When you repent, then you must be willing to dedicate your life, surrender your life. Amen. You're surrendering, you're lifting up those hands, and you're giving everything over to the Lord. You see, the apostles, for 3 years, they followed Jesus. And the Bible says they left everything. They left their family. They left their jobs. They left their, they left, Matthew was a tax collector. He left that job. Peter, James, and John, I believe they were fishermen. They left their jobs and the other things that the other boys were doing. They left. They literally laid that down and they followed the Lord. And then they went on. They didn't go back. They continued on with the Lord, and this is what we have to do. They literally had to follow. We literally have to follow. That doesn't mean that you have to necessarily give up your job or your career. However, Jesus must be first. He must take first place. If your job takes precedent over your ministry, over the work of God, over the church, Jesus may not be Lord of your life. Praise the Lord. Your commitment level to God, when you know that there's certain things, especially if you're in leadership position and you're serving the body of Christ, but yet you're not there in Bible study, you're not there on time, you come in, you drag in, you do, but yet you want to lead and you want, that's not being a good example. We have really got to make sure that we're leading and we're being good examples and we're faithful to the work of God. Praise the Lord. A lot of times we don't want to hear this, but this is part of us following the Lord. This is part of our relationship with God. God says in his word, he said he's looking for those that will be faithful. He says, when I come, will I find faithfulness? Will there be faithful ones, committed ones, those that are sold out? And then there are others that God is saying, you got to give it all to me. You've got to follow me. You've got to trust me. You've got to rely on me. You've got to depend on me. God is really wanting to do a great work in the body of Christ, and he's looking for his people that will be committed, totally committed to him, amen, totally dedicated to him and surrendered to him. You got to surrender everything. Praise the Lord. You even have to give your jobs and your money and all of these things to the Lord. Give it to God. Just lay it at his feet and allow him to take control. Praise the Lord. It is a faith walk. The Bible says we walk by faith. We don't walk by sight. Praise God. So I'm just encouraging you, amen, to just take an inventory of your life and find out where you are. Find out where your commitment level is. Some of us, God wants us to do more for him. Some of us, God wants us to pray more. Some of us, God wants us to begin to preach the word a little bit more and teach the word. Amen. Some of us, God wants us to begin to write and do the different things that he's putting on our heart. Amen. And then some of us are in marketplace ministry, but it should be a ministry. Praise the Lord. God still needs to be first. He must take first place and priority in our lives. Praise the Lord. Now, the scripture goes on. We're going to read this real quick. We're almost done with chapter 3. It says in verse 22, for Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. Now, this is talking about Jesus Christ. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Now, then we hardly ever hear that, but this is what the word says. And even in, I think, the book of John, when it says that if you believe not, you're going to perish. Now, it's we come to Christ on our own free will. He never forces us to come to him. Praise God. But if you deny him, he's going to deny you before the Father. If we choose not to believe the Lord, we're going to lose out in the end time when we stand before the Lord. Amen. We'll lose out. I don't want to lose out with God. I know that this word is true. I know it's real. I know Jesus is real. The power of God is real. The Holy Ghost is real. And I just want to be part of God, part of that body. Praise God. Now, listen, the scripture says, ye and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. So where the apostles were at this point, they were living out this part of prophecy, and we're yet seeing prophecy fulfilled. The word of God is being fulfilled right in our eyes. This is why we cannot dismiss the prophet. We cannot dismiss the voice of the prophet. We need the prophetic voice in our midst, in the body of Christ. We need the apostle, and we need the prophet. We need to hear what God is saying, and we need the order that the apostle gives, the foundation, praise God, that the apostle gives. We need that now. We need it to be firmly established in this hour. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. So this lets us know that we do not have to live in sin any longer, because Jesus died that we may be free. He died that we may walk free, we may walk holy, we may walk righteous. There is no excuse for us allowing sin to reign in our lives anywhere. The word of God is true. When Jesus saves you, he delivers you, beloved. He pulls you out of darkness into the marvelous light. So you cross from darkness into light when you come to Christ. The Bible says that you are a new creature. Old things are passed away. That means they die. They're dead. They're put into the sea of forgetfulness. And behold, all things become new. So if we're really following God, we should be walking in the newness of life now. And every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. We should be learning something new every day. Just this little revelation right here. Yeah, we know it, but do we really know it, that we are now new creatures in Christ? Praise God, that we are really the head and we're not the tail, that we are above and we're not beneath, and the works that Jesus said we could do, we can do them because we're overcomers. Praise the Lord. Over this last week, we have prayed with people that were at the brink of death, and we have seen God, amen, work miracles. Work a miracle and bring these people back, amen, from the brink of death. Amen. When you speak the word and you speak life, you bind the devil and you come against the power of the enemy, praise the Lord, he have to behave. Glory to God. And so it's important that we pray, that we seek the face of God, that we stay in tune and hear what the Lord is saying. Praise the Lord. Now, we wanted to continue this teaching. We're going to continue chapter 4 on our next broadcast. Praise God. We want you just to read through these chapters, praise God, and allow the Lord to minister to you as we walk through the book of Acts, the book of action. Great book, praise the Lord. And we're going to see Jesus. We're going to see the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Many things we're going to see as a result of just walking through this book. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for what you're doing. We thank you, God, that you're showing us what true repentance is, and that when we repent and we are converted and we call on the name of the Lord, God, that we're saved, we're delivered, we're set free. Father, there may be one right now that don't know you, and I pray that you will convict their heart, that they will repent right now and ask you, Lord, to come into their lives and change them and make them a new creature. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, activate this word. Let the power of the Holy Ghost begin to go through the airways and minister. Refill with the Holy Ghost. Replenish, refurbish, God. Refresh us, Holy Ghost. Refresh us and give us what we need to continue on in the work of the Lord. Strengthen the pastors, the ministers, the evangelists, the prophets, the pastors and teachers, the apostles that are listening. Father, minister your people. Minister to all your people, lay members, no matter who it is, Father God, young and old, the newly saved. I just ask that you touch, God, and that you continue to have your way. Move, God, heal. Let the healing power of Jesus go forth right now. Minister to everyone that's listening. Father, we thank you and we praise you for your holy word. Keep us, God, in the center of your will and your perfect will. Don't let the word slip, and we thank you now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Beloved, you've been listening to Set Free Live, brought to you by Women of Power Ministries. We pray that this word has been an encouragement to you, and we pray that you'll continue to listen to our next broadcast. If you would like more information about our ministry, please visit our website, www.wopministries.org. Until we meet again, may God bless you, is my prayer.